GNC 589. It's Monday. It's actually Tuesday, June 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. Kind of a rough start in getting started here tonight, courtesy of Ustream. But hey, for those of you that are listening post-show, you really don't care. Hey, I got a great show for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. That's where you'll find all 580, I guess, I may have got the number wrong at the beginning of the show. You know, I do that from time to time because what I do is I work off a little cheat sheet here. And the cheat sheet tells me what episode I'm on. I'm actually on 588. So if you thought you missed a show, don't worry. You're on the right one. But hey, I want to welcome all of the Hana, all of the longtime listeners to the podcast. Thanks for being part of the family, being part of the staying subscribed to the show and being here for me. I definitely appreciate that. And thanks for spreading the word about the show. The show has seen phenomenal growth, really almost a year straight. We've seen month after month the traffic increase consistently. And I really attribute that to all of you, the word of mouth that you put out about the show and what's, you know, basically sharing that. And I definitely appreciate it. Of course, there's a number of you that are watching us on the Roku or maybe even on the Boxy. And then thanks for watching there as well. We're starting to get more and more feedback from those of you that are watching. And the numbers on those continue to grow up. That's what's really driving the video numbers. Now, this past Saturday, we had a tech podcast roundtable. Kind of did it last moment type of thing. Jeffrey Powers over at geekazine.com were talking, and I had some stuff I wanted to talk about, and he had some stuff to cover. But I put together a little presentation on over-the-top TV, OTT, and it's a real good presentation. It's about 20 minutes into the actual presentation. Jeffrey went first, and I followed him, and then it's followed up with some conversation with some members from TPN and part of the audience. And so there's some insights there for those of you that may not be doing video yet with your shows, if you're a podcaster, that you may want to consider. And that's the main reason why the Insider did not get done this weekend, is because really most Saturday was spent finishing the production on that. And then I just had a whole bunch of other stuff in play. So if you were expecting Insider, I apologize. Really, that was the reason why it did not get out, and I owe you an Insider. So I'm a week overdue, but that's forthcoming. Hey, if you're a new listener, I want to welcome you to the show. And more importantly, if you're a new listener, you subscribe to the feed either via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or just grab the RSS feed for the podcast and put that in either your Android aggregator, your iPod. Basically, get the show automatically delivered to you so that you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. Of course, we've got listeners that listen in from 165 countries worldwide. And how you can stay abreast of what's really going on with the show is I send out a newsletter immediately following every podcast that really talks about all the stuff I'm going to talk about in the show tonight. It has all the links to it, all the listener-submitted submissions as well. So get those out, get signed up for it so that you can get into the newsletter and have that delivered to your inbox. And what's kind of cool about it is as I'm talking about the show, and you hear something, and you mentally log that, put the bookmark it there in your brain. You can go back to the email and say, now, what was that article? And you can look down through the list and then click through and actually read the full article when I don't go in depth enough into something that that I've covered. So that's you know, that's the advantage of signing up for the newsletter. It gets you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. And it's been kind of interesting. Well, really, since Friday, I've been absolutely going insane because we started to get insertion. I actually talked about it a little bit on the last show. We started to get advertising insertion orders in. So really what I start doing a couple of weeks before a new quarter, I start prepping all the shows. I start pinging on them to make sure all their data is updated in our system so that when I go through and basically make our list of shows that are going to be in advertising buys, it really is a smooth process. And I kept getting emails Saturday that were, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do this? I'm like, if you want to make money, you got to do it. Quit asking me questions. Just do it. Don't ask why. Just do. And then I tried to help some of the guys over at Tech Podcast so they'd get listed on the Roku, and people didn't understand why they needed to have a square image. It was just, you know, by the time Saturday was over, I said to my lovely wife, I said, what's planned for tomorrow? And she's like, this, and this. I'm like, great. We're getting out of the house and going, which I want to share you guys a little secret, a little story. Chris, my six-year-old, we went to, basically what we did is, here in Hawaii, they have a lot of, clubs. The clubs are essentially associated with, many of the immigrants. Of course, Hawaii has a huge immigrant population, Filipinos, Portuguese, Okinawans, Japanese, just a whole plethora of China, you know, just the whole smorgasbord of immigrants. And being that when my wife is originally from Okinawa, and that her extended family here all were essentially their parents and so forth migrated to Hawaii. They have these clubs that basically are centered around cities. So in other words, my wife grew up in Naha, which is in Okinawa. And then some of her auntie and uncles, their father grew up in a different city. But anyway, we go and hang out with this, with really what it is, it's an Okinawan club or an Okinawan association. And it happens every year, and they have some games, and it's just a fun day to hang out. And as we like to say here in Hawaii, talk story. But they have games and prizes for the kids and adults, and it's just a way to break the day up. And it came time to do the world-famous egg toss, right? Now, if you haven't participated in egg toss, you know that can be a little trials and tribulation there of getting some egg in the face like my wife did. Or, you know, depending on how good you can catch, you know, whether or not you end up with some yolk on your egg. But, you know, my six-year-old, he's not one to be a great catcher yet. So he said, I want to participate in the egg toss. And luckily, one of my, because I'd already paired up with Ray, my older son, and mom was with my daughter. And so the uncle went with Chris. And just before the egg toss started, the announcer says, now, does anybody have any questions? And, you know, Chris is kind of new to this, so he's looking at the ground. They've got some rope laid out where the kids, basically, you have to, you know, stand behind the rope on each side. And Chris raised his hand and says, I have a question. And the guy said, oh, yes, what's your question? He says, do all I have to do is get it across the line? And the guy says, yeah. So I really don't watch the first toss except when I tossed a ray. I looked down the line and I noticed Chris has got the egg. He caught it. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. So they back us up like 5 feet. And I'm thinking to myself, this will go one round, maybe two round with him, and then an egg will be yolk, right? And this goes on a little bit. And I look back down and he's still in. And I'm like, we're like 20 feet now. I'm like, how did that happen? Man, he is doing good. Well, I took my time in the next throw and I watched what he was doing. He was underhand tossing the egg, kind of flat throw, and it really didn't get any air to it, but instead it lightly bounced on the ground and then kind of rolled, and he had enough power behind it. He'd get it over to the uncle, and the uncle would scoop it up, of course, like a baseball catch, like a ground field ball throw, and we're all kind of looking, and by this time, the group is starting to decline, and on the next throw, Ray and I got out. But Chris went on all the way to where the ropes were like 40, 45 feet across. And I'm thinking, there's no way. There was two of them left. Of course, the adults were throwing the way they were supposed to throw. everyone's hee-hawing, slapping her knees, and Chris is the last throw, and I couldn't believe it because he whipped it pretty hard. I think this thing's going to break. No way is it going to make the bounce. And he, you know, it lofted maybe 10, 15 feet, landed, rolled, bounce, 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 and made it to the other line, and the other team egged out. So my six-year-old won the egg toss. He was tossing it, not high, ground rolling throws, but he went 40, 45 feet. And I was pretty, everyone's pretty impressed. They let him win, of course. And, but he had asked a question, do I just have to get it across the line? And that's what they said. And that's what he did. So, there's a trick for you. And also pick the smallest egg. Okay. I just had to share that with you guys. It was too cool not to. And, but it was good for all of us to get a good laugh, and all the aunties and uncles were patting him on his back, and I'm high-fiving him. So, good job to Chris for beating all of us in the egg toss. All right, that's enough on that. We got a lot of tech to talk about tonight. But I do want to announce the GoToMeeting winner. Brian Randall submitted an entry late last week talking about how he had used GoToMeeting. And on the, basically, we're almost out of time, so I'll cover it on the next show. But Brian is my a winner to get a 90-day pass to GoToMeeting. So, Randall, Brian, you've got your free 90 days of GoToMeeting, and we'll get you signed up for that, or actually I'll basically pay for it, and congratulations to that. Now, the live.geekandcentral.com winner, we had three entries, and really, Sam, you hit it out of the ballpark. Sam Garcia, of course, is our Ohana store operator. Sam has come up with a pretty amazing design. He's actually doing a final revision and going to send it over to me. But Sam, hands down, winner on the live.geeknewscentral.com contest, $250 to you, my friend. And thanks for doing the work. We'll see if we can get that implemented somehow, figure out how we're going to do that. And I may turn that over to my developer. You and I can talk about it. But congratulations to that. Now, Jeffrey, I see you're on Ustream. Dude, you need to read my email. You've got a couple of days, buddy. I know you got a couple of hot videos coming. Now, I can't give up. Well, I can. I'll just give up the secret. Jeffrey Powers and Annie McCaskey from SDR News and Geekazine.com interviewed Woz at the HP Tech Forum, and they've got two interviews that I was able to watch them because I've got the login, but they haven't released them yet. So they've got two videos of Woz, and I'm sure these things are going to go super viral. And I'm just waiting for, I was asking those guys, when are you going to release them? When are you going to release them? So as soon as they cut them loose, I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. You guys are actually in a blog post. You guys can check them out. So that's just a little information that's coming from Andy and Jeffrey. Good score on the 20-plus minute interview with Woz in two segments. So be curious. I watched part of each one of them and didn't watch all the way through. And I'm not going to share what they talked about, but should be worthwhile to watch. Let's see here. There's some new items in the Ohana store. Sam turned some stuff loose, so make sure you get over to cafepress.com/Ohana store, cafepress.com/Ohana store. As I talked about in the last show, I'm going to be making some major investments in the show, and we'll talk about that more on a later date because I'm already running long on time. But what I want to do between now and really the end of July, so we've got a month or more, is I want to have a special donation period. And I guess for a better words, I'm going to make it into like where an NPR has their once a year fundraiser. And really what this is to help offset what we're going to do. We're going to take the studio and we're going to be upgrading the TriCaster. We're going to go to the 850, the new one that's coming out in July. July 15th, the TCXD 850. We're going to go to that. And the primary reason I'm going to go to the new TriCaster is it has a lot of features software-wise. Now, it doesn't give me a super lot, doesn't give me a lot more camera-wise features, except I can go full HD with the studio. But what it does do is give me a whole bunch of software options to do some things within the actual video that will allow me to really stay a single person switching machine. Basically, I won't have to add a bunch of bodies to the studio to do a vast improvement to the video production that I put together for this show. So I'm going to make the upgrade to that. I get a trade-in for the current system I've got. Matter of fact, they give me $8,000 for trade-in for the current unit that I have. I think, or maybe $7,000 is a trade-in. And then I have to pay the balance for the upgrade. And the upgrade's pretty expensive. But we're going to be making some additional changes to the studio. We're probably going to be doing some green screen stuff and some, you know, some other things we're going to be doing here, playing to increase the format. So really the investment in the show is going to come purely from a production standpoint. So between now and the end of July, we're going to have a special time where I haven't decided what I'm going to do for everyone that donates during this period. And we're only going to do this once. This is a one-time deal, to do a big fundraiser. And I've never done one of these before like this. So I hope you guys will bear with me, but, we're going to try to have contributions of $100 or more come in as part of this this process. And if you feel so inclined to donate, that's great. If you don't, I understand. You know that the ads will continue in the show, but this is to help me offset some costs and basically do an upgrade to the studio. And, you know, if you don't feel like it, it's fine. It's cool. Don't worry. You're under no obligation. But I do appreciate it if you do. And I have some stuff in the show notes for you on that tonight. Okay, so anyway, again, we're continuing to take comments on what you would change on show 600. What would you like me to change about this show once we hit show number 600, which is really a short time away? So what's one thing you would change? Send those comments into geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Of course, you can check our offers out at geeknewscentral.com/offers and be an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. And of course, you can check out our GoDaddy promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Now, speaking of GoDaddy, you've got just a few days because the prices on .coms are going up July 1st. Get your renewals done now. Break out your credit card and get your renewals done for your .com so you save a bunch of money. Renew what you've got for the rest of the year. You know, because you're going to save some bucks in doing that. But remember, if you have a smartphone, you do have 24/7 access to GoDaddy.com. And they have a free iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry app that really makes it easy to manage your domains and also to register new ones. You can download GoDaddy's free iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry app to order right for your phone. And you can find that information out over at GoDaddy.com. Of course, if you're looking to save some money, and I got a nose itch. I hate that when it happens. Anyway, GoDaddy.com. And use my promo codes. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% or more on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you $7.49 domains until July 1st, just a few days away. And Aloha will save you $20 on orders $75 or more. All the codes are on the GoDaddy page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check them out. Use them. Share them. Promote them with your friends, blog about them, link back to me. Anything you can do to give me love is greatly appreciated. As well as, and of course, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Actually, I know Near, they took care of you. We're going to read an email that Near got he basically submitted me, had a problem with some issues he'd had with some of their services, and they responded. And I'll read part of that email that he received back at the end of the show. But more importantly, you guys know that life insurance is very important. It provides a safety net for your loved ones, and it should be an essential part of every family's financial plan. It is with us. And, you know, when you buy life insurance, you definitely don't want to settle for a one-size-fits-all plan. And that's one thing you're going to love about Matrix Direct. They offer a wide range of flexible plans, and they make it easy for you to understand your options so you can decide really what coverage is right for your family. And you only have to pay for what you need. You can save up to 75% or more on term. Again, this is term life insurance with matrixdirect.com/podcast. But just remember, too, policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company of Houston, Texas, not available in all states. For details about this paid advertisement, please visit Matrix Direct online at matrixdirect.com/podcast. Thanks for Matrix Direct for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the content tonight. That's what you guys came for, and we're already horribly long on me just yakking about everything here. So one thing I've been learning, too, when I go over an hour and 15 minutes, it makes it very hard for me to do a high-quality video to put on YouTube. I bust my 1 gig cap on file size, so I'm going to do everything in my power tonight to keep this show to 1 hour 15. So hold on to your hats. We've got a lot to go through here in a short amount of time, but we'll talk a little bit on Windows 8 leak today that happened, and it's being announced. Well, it wasn't announced, but a PowerPoint got loose, and it appears that there's going to be an app store for Windows. And we're going to see IE9 beta in August. So what they're going to be doing here, and what they're really, what it really looks like, is that Windows is definitely gunning for Apple. They're going to be coming out with some custom hardware that looks pretty slick. I don't know if it's necessarily as slick as Apple's design, and they're going to have to work real hard to do that. But they're going to have a web store where you're going to be able to find Windows software and applications. You're going to be able to buy them right from the store and not have to go around to multiple places to find software that, you know, you may have bought from 20 different vendors before. So it's going to be real centric to make it easy for you to find software for your computer. It doesn't appear that there's going to be a tablet with the update to Windows 8. So we'll see what happens there. There's a lot of mysteries that remain. And whether or not there's going to be a server, Windows Server 2008, we're going to have to, Windows Server, Windows Server 2000, is it Windows Server 2? That doesn't make no sense. Oh, it's going to be, if there's going to be a new Windows Server or not, but they're going to continue to emphasize on basically improving Windows 7 features, and they're going to emphasize on startup and shutdown speeds, and also restore from asleep performance, and, you know, this is something that's always been makes me laugh. Really, between Windows and Apple, there is no comparison. Macs always boot up much, much faster than Windows. You know, when Windows machines are brand new, they boot up real quick. But you give them about 6 months of usage, and then all of a sudden, they don't boot up so fast because it seems like every application wants to be in that startup script to do something. And I hope Windows cracks down on that, says stop all these vendors from doing that. So the machines get up and running and can be productive. If they want to load that stuff after the machine is up, that's cool. But let them, you know, let them load in stages so we can use the machine. I'm serious. I used the laptop that I have that I'm using now mostly. It used to boot up in a couple minutes, be up and ready to go. Now I think it's like 10 minutes, something ridiculous. And you know, everything I've done to clean the thing hasn't helped. So we'll see what happens with Windows 8. But they're definitely gunning for the folks over at Apple by everything I can see in this document. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Let me go ahead and bring up the, see if I can load this up. Can I do that? Let me go wrong button there. And right, you know, we know many of you probably use in voice IP services, but Ars Technica is reporting that, right now, there's over 20 million voice IP subscribers in the United States. This is a big jump. This represents a 13% of the nation's 162 million phone lines are now essentially up on voice IP. And now, while it's still a relative small percentage of the total number of landlines, the majority are still on traditional switch access. This is an increase, a significant increase to numbers they've seen in the past. But what's unique about this is many of you are doing the triple play. You're getting your cable, you're getting your voice IP and your internet service, all through the same carrier. So many people are doing that. It's not so much that Vonage has made a big jump, but many of you are just, you know, using the triple play packages that are being offered by, your cable provider. Now, big news out of the White House today is the White House announced that it wanted more spectrum for wireless broadband. We knew that the FCC was looking at this, but boy, oh boy, the White House has came out swinging, and they've thrown their weight behind the FCC's efforts to free up 500 megahertz of broadband wireless spectrum. They want this to happen quickly. They're saying that they want to have a roadmap in place on exactly how they're going to accomplish this by October of this year, and then they want this to all go down within about a 5-year period. Now, this is not going to happen without a fight, because the challenge is going to be that the television broadcasters are going to have to go along with this, convincing them to sell some of their 120 megahertz and licensed spectrum is going to be a tough sell. And this may really impact many of you that get over-the-air TV, because over time, that over-the-air TV could be going back into wireless type of devices. Now, I think I agree with the FCC in their and the administration in their basically saying that we've got to free this up in order to stay competitive. And I did like that some of the guidelines that they put together in this document basically say that the some of this 500 megahertz is going to have to be open. Some of it will be licensed. Some of it be a corporate government combined type of deal. So there's going to be a little bit in there for everybody. And I think that's exciting for all of us. And I really like the word open. Whether or not that truly happens or not, I don't know, because it's, you know, really that spectrum is worth multiple billions of dollars. And definitely a way to pay down some of the national debt, I guess. But we'll see what happens with this. But along with that, in that same document, the administration has announced that they back the FCC's national broadband plan. And this is big. You know that the FCC's been under really some intense political and industry pressure to, you know, not necessarily move forward with this broadband plan. But this is big. Now, of course, this all has to really be, you know, the memorandum that the president's going to sign is going to put the political muscle in place. Now it'll be up to the Congress and the House of Representatives to come through with legislation that makes this happen. We'll put this memorandum into act. So it's really the president wants this to happen, and we'll see. But we know that the FCC's faced some serious issues or serious, you know, pushback from you know, telcos and so forth. Now, there's a good article. I'll have it later in the show. It's a Wired article that really lays out some of the issues that we're facing today and why the United States continues to fall so much farther behind so many other countries. You look at what's really not happening on the innovation side is, I believe, to a large degree to blame of the telcos and those that are providing internet services. So I'm going to talk about that Wired article later, but keep this in context of what the president announced today, and then this will be kind of the other side of the fence on what really the incumbents, the telco companies, are trying to fight to make sure this doesn't happen and why we continue to fall further behind. And so this is, you know, there's going to be this big, massive battle here, and only time will tell how it turns out. It didn't help, of course, as we talked about in the last show, where the FCC had a closed door meeting. I didn't get any feedback from any of you on that. I guess none of you care that the FCC had a closed door meeting with all the big boys, and it wasn't, they had no independent people in there, you know, to see what was being discussed. But no one responded to the last show on that. But I think this is going to continue to spiral up to be a very serious and ugly battle. And it's going to be fun to watch. We'll have a lot to talk about over the next couple of years. Now, that's for sure. Right. Apparently, even though the iPhone version 4 or iPhone 4 has had some problems with the touching the case, with the antenna going bad and so forth, it's Apple's best product launch ever, with 1.7 million phones sold. And Steve Jobs has made a public apology that they didn't have enough phones out there didn't have enough supply. You know, they always don't have enough supply. Do you think that they want everyone to get a phone on the first day? Of course not. They calculate how many they're going to come up short. They don't. If everyone got all their phones the same day, there would be no more news, right? So they, you know, that's just, you know, it's, oh, I gotta have one. They don't have no more. Everyone's got one. I gotta have one, right? So my daughter asked me, Dad, when are you gonna upgrade to iPhone 4? Well, I said, I don't need it. it's not that big of a jump, honey. It's not that, oh, it's the best phone out there. It's been, and you know, it kind of plays into a YouTube video I'm going to share with you only in the newsletter. And fair warning on this YouTube video. It's not child or necessarily work safe. I'll link it up there. I apologize. It just basically has some strong language in it, but I think you'll get a kick, really kind of a, you'll laugh over this video because it's about a customer service call and someone calling in to get an iPhone 4. And it's all I'm going to leave it with, but I think those of you that are Droid fans will get a good kick out of this particular video. I'll have it up for you at in the show notes. That's delivered via email, will not be in the published show notes. So you got to be in the newsletter. If you're not on the newsletter, sorry, you won't get it. Okay. Anyway, we'll go from there. Hey, we're on the BBC. The GOCE, G-O-C-E satellite, has produced, they've released the first HD view of Earth's gravity. Now, some of you are saying, huh? Well, you know that the Earth has gravitational fields. And this particular satellite, which is in very, very low orbit, matter of fact, it's barely in space. And has some very amazing sensors on board, has taken and mapped the, and this is a satellite that was launched by the European Space Agency. They released this map at the Earth Observation Symposium, and this is pretty cool stuff here. And once you look at this data, some of you are saying, well, this doesn't make much sense, but those of you that are super geeks will kind of get it. On how this actually works, but it just lays out intensity levels on where magnetic lines of flux are the strongest. And you want to know one place where it's pretty strong? You guys know the Bermuda Triangle? I'm looking at this map. I'm going, oh, the Bermuda Triangle is pretty lit up. I wonder if that has to do anything with some of the stuff that's happened out there. All right, what do your gadgets really cost? And the folks over at Business Week did a pretty good breakdown, and some of you may have already seen some of this already. And let me actually put this up let me put this up where on so you guys can see it on Ustream. The iPhone, which has been widely reported already, $187 was the actual cost of the 16 gig device. Now, if we move forward and we look at the iPad, which was the Wi-Fi model only, which has a retail price of $499. The cost of the components were from $259 to $348. That's what it actually cost them to build it. And if we move into, let's look at the next device here. If we look at the Google Nexus One, that retail price is $179. And check this out. Cost of components, $174. Now, do you notice I didn't put that up for you guys. Do you notice a trend here? Do you notice that the price markup between Google and Apple? Apple had a huge markup and Google didn't have much. Now, here's the Droid, the Motorola Droid. Now, notice again, retail price, $199. Cost of components, $185. Not much of a markup, is there? It's just a few dollars. Now, let's look at this next device. Okay, here's the iPhone 3GS. Now, here's where the price was pretty close. And this came out, of course, last year. Retail price is $199, cost of components $179. So, you know, I guess I can't talk too bad about Apple in that circumstance. But if we look at the Palm Pre, they really were soaking it to consumers because the cost was about $200. And the projected actual components was $137. So anyway, they've got about 26 different components here for you to look at. If you want to know what your actual gadget really costs, you can look at this article at businessweek.com. All right, PayPal. And boy, I tell you, my team at Raw Voice, we've been talking about PayPal a lot. We're trying to figure out how to make our shopping cart process a little bit smoother in the products and services that we sell. And so anything I see new about PayPal, I go and read. But apparently, last week, PayPal announced a new service for developers that will be allowing software writers to accept credit card payments using PayPal without requiring buyers to have a PayPal account. The program is called Guest Payments and will let software developers offer credit card payments for an app in addition to PayPal's electronic transferring of funds between a buyer and a seller. It says publishers will be able to add PayPal's credit card payments option to any app / desktop, mobile phone, and web. This is pretty appealing here to not have to have an account on PayPal, because not everybody does. But all it really does is puts a link on a page that says pay with a credit card. And you put your credit card information there, you hit pay, and it gives you access to access to the content. So pretty cool stuff. How many of you with your banks get text messages when something happens, when you get a deposit or somebody withdraws money? It's a beautiful thing. I just got a text on a deposit that was made, and it just confirms, and it was coming, but it just confirms that it was going in there. Let's talk about Google Chrome. Well, Google Chrome not only has, let's move the phone away from the computer. Oh, I hate that when that happens. All right. Moved it on the other side of the room. Google Chrome OS creator has taken a job at Facebook. Well, at the same time, Google Chrome today became the third most popular web browser, and it's beat out Safari. And this is pretty big that now that StatCounter, the folks are at StatCounter.com. Matter of fact, I use StatCounter to measure my statistics at Geek News Central, along with Google Analytics. But I just like the way StatCounter puts their stats together. But they have announced that Chrome has become the third most popular browser. Now, I was looking at my stats, and definitely it's right there, because Firefox is number one for GNC, followed by Internet Explorer, followed by Chrome, followed by Safari. So it really kind of it's following what I would be expecting for, you know, the national stuff to go. So it's pretty cool. Now, those of you that are a little bit leery about searching for stuff without being in a SSL, basically in just a regular web page, you know, Google had introduced basically HTTPS /// www.google.com, and that caused some issues with some schools. So they relocated the encrypted search. So if you want to do encrypted search on Google, you now have to go to encrypted.google.com, and this basically unblocks schools and universities, because educational institutions have banned encrypted search engines because students were using them to bypass web content filters of their schools and universities. So I thought this was interesting here that they've done that. But so we'll see what happens with this. But encrypted.google.com to do encrypted Google searches. If you live in New York City, is your iPhone working better? AT&T has completed 3G coverage upgrades in New York. So apparently you're supposed to have a better experience now. So I'll ask Jeff about this tomorrow night. But it's supposed to improve voice quality 47%, and 3G data download speeds are supposed to be increased by 25%. But the company, or actually AT&T, has said that data usage on its network is up 5,000% since 2007 to 2009. And it's really unclear in how these percentages are really going to really truly affect if you're actually going to see an increase or not. But anyway, they've updated the connection in New York. Why don't you come to Hawaii? We need some upgrades here too. Hey, on the same day that the administration announced basically the initiative to get more bandwidth, or free up more frequency spectrum, they have also unveiled their new space policy goals. And as I read through this, I'll be honest with you. Their space policy goals is probably one of the weakest documents I've ever read from any administration. It just really lacks any oomph. It really, you know, makes me think that we're soon to become a second-rated space nation. I'm not at all impressed with the goals that have been laid out. The revamped space policy, the revamped space policy goals are aimed at stepping up joint international efforts across a wide range of scientific exploration and national security projects. How can you have joint international efforts on national security projects? I wonder how you do that. Next thing is, this is from weather satellites to robotic spacecraft to reducing hazards posed by orbital debris. It goes on to say the U.S. posture aims to join with other nations to the greatest extent practicable in designing, executing, and sharing data from future programs. Noting that priorities have changed because the U.S. is no longer racing against an adversary such as the former Soviet Union. What about those 10 people that were arrested today? The president stressed that one of the central goals is to promote a peaceful cooperation and collaboration as a way to prevent conflicts in space. I don't know. You know, they definitely want to go privatized on rockets and space lift capability. I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I off base here? What do you guys think about the policy, space policy of the country? You know, you look at what the previous space policies have brought to us. They brought innovation, new technology. If we go back, let's go back to the Apollo program, what it really did for technology. It made stuff smaller, faster. It caused innovation. You know, are we going to be outsourcing all our innovation and sharing all of our data with other countries that'll use it against us? Do we want to have a partnership with China when they copy everything we make anyway? I don't know. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, the PC world has the 10 most uncool moments in tech. And some of these are some fun videos. I'm not going to go into these because some of these are, we've probably talked about in the past, and some of this stuff is really bad. But they did a good job here putting together a series of unhip, or what they thought was hip, that turned out to be unhip stuff. And Microsoft definitely leads the pack in blunders here. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can watch the variety of videos. How many of you get Sirius or XM radio? How many of you do it via the online system? Well, Pulsar, that's a program. Pulsar update lets you pause playback satellite radio. I'm sure the folks over at Sirius are happy about this. This is for the Mac users. Thanks to Rogue Amoeba's new update to its XM and Sirius desktop client Pulsar, along with some interface improvements, the 2.0 update gives Pulsar the ability to pause, replay, or fast-forward live radio. So if you're missing Howard Stern and you want to record him, you can use this. Those of you that are Mac users can do that. Hey, the biggest rumor of the day, and of course this was instigated by Kevin Rose. Let's see if this actually loads here. Let me close the ad. We'll talk about ads here a little later in the show too. Kevin Rose says, huge rumor. Google to launch Facebook competitor very soon. Google me, very credible source. Now, Kevin Rose is not the one to spread rumors, so for him to say something is pretty big. Now, Google me, what does that mean? So that's the question of the day that's made the rounds, that Google is building its own social networking site, and it's going to be called Google Me. And it may be the company's attempt, keyword here is attempt, to unseat Facebook. Now, people are asking, is it possible for Google to even do this? Or would they have a chance in unseating Facebook? You know, they tried with Google Wave, and that really didn't take off, and it still hasn't taken off. But what do you guys think? Think Google has a chance? You know, Google already knows everything about us already, so we might as well share with them everything else. They know who we send email to. They know the Google searches we do. They know the documents that we have. They know our statistics. You know what? Just keep naming stuff. They do know. You know, if they really think about what they know about us, it's it should make you sit back and go, huh. Now, Firefox, how many of you Farmville users? I I don't even go try to play any of these type of games, because if I do, I'd get sucked in and then I wouldn't get anything done. But apparently, just 3 days after adding a plugin crash protection to Firefox, Mozilla had to rush out another release because people playing Farmville on Facebook complained that their browsers were shutting down the game. So Firefox essentially updated their software so that the folks that are playing Farmville will be able to do so without this this plugin killing the Farmville app, I guess. So we'll see what happens here with this. But if that's why you got a couple Firefox updates, it was because of Farmville. All right, now this is an interesting development here, and I really am actually kind of I'm not surprised, but this is about the adult industry. Apparently, one of the major adult film studios said it would drop Flash today if all browsers were HTML5 ready, meaning IE8. So the company founder said, Flash brings everything to a crawl and has impact on battery life. With HTML5, there is no reason to show our content in Flash. So they also said that they did not expect 3D to gain mass acceptance anytime soon. So we all know that really what saved the VHS tape was the adult industry. We know that the adult industry has led the way in a lot of different things, whether people want to admit it or not. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people when they go to CES, they go to the adult convention, quote unquote, to find out what they're doing new and innovative, not for, well, you know, the other stuff. But they're saying here that the adult industry is going to lead the way with HTML5. And I'm kind of curious, because I want to talk to Angelo a little bit about this. You know, we're HTML5 ready on blueberry.com. And a matter of fact, I encourage you to go over there with a Chrome browser and then watch videos on there and tell me how cool it really is to watch the videos in its native format versus Flash, and how you feel the experience is. Now, my thought process is that it's just going to save these film creators a lot of time by being able to publish in a native format versus Flash. But I don't know how it's going to affect their ability to put advertisements and stuff on that. Now, what we did was we built our HTML player in a job. It's basically in a JavaScript window. And I don't want to explain how it was done, but basically the player looks the same whether or not you're on a HTML5 capable browser or not. And the way we did that was with JavaScript, and Angelo was the genius behind it. But the things that we've looked at on HTML5 is, okay, how's the advertising going to work, overlays and so forth. So, but that's, you know, Flash could be in much bigger trouble than they already are. All right, Dutch ISP fights demands that they block access to the Pirate Bay. Apparently, the Dutch anti-piracy group Bren has been, of course, pretty aggressive in bringing all kinds of lawsuits and attempting to basically, by any means possible, block torrent sites. And finally, ISPs are standing up and saying, hey, we're tired of this. And a statement they made, it says, the basic principle of the internet is the ISPs pass traffic on to their customers unfiltered. They are merely a gateway. It says, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, spokesman for XS4All. He says, the Pirate Bay website is not hosted on a Ziggo server, so Ziggo can't be held responsible for restricting access to the website. Bren is targeting the wrong people. So we'll see. I'm glad the Dutch are standing up to this group. Finally, someone will. But we'll see how well they fare in their battle. Okay, talked a little bit about here earlier in the show, a Wired magazine article. And this is one that you have to read. And it's entitled, You Don't Want Your ISP to Innovate. And I'm just going to read from this a couple of paragraphs. It says, there's a complicated fight in D.C. right now over how the FCC classifies broadband services so it can regain the power to impose some basic rules on the industry. Free market groups in the industry are banging the table, arguing against the consequences, saying that the FCC is trying to regulate the internet and will kill innovation. Here's a simple truth. You don't want your ISP to innovate, at least not in the way they want to innovate. So here's the thing that really will really stick with you. The U.S. is 26th in the world in terms of online access. The industry's investment in deployment of fiber optics, the transport medium of the future, is laughable. This is directly from the article. With the noted exception of Verizon, which has devoted significant money to its Fios build-out, despite being punished by Wall Street for doing so. Now, here's where the crux of this article goes to. They feel the reason, even though the cost of broadband is, or actually bandwidth is declining, that it's all about Wall Street. And for the companies to invest in more speed, more fiber, everything else that's going to be innovative, goes against the principles of making money and serving shareholders. ISPs have long insisted on customers using installation software that did nothing but drive customers into ISPs' web properties to get ad dollars, tried to sell for a monthly fee, wireless home network capability you could easily set up for a $50 router. It basically goes on and on about what they haven't done or what they've tried to do and how they've tried to force you back into their walled gardens. But this just goes on and on. And this is a great article. It really is. I'm not even touching a tenth here of what this guy is trying to convey. If I did, I'd have to read the thing, and I don't want to do that. But this article here on Wired by Ryan Single is probably what I will call the article of the week for all of you to go and read, in combination with the stuff going on with the administration announcing this new policy today to gain more infrastructure, actually gain more of the frequency spectrum back. Now, on a more positive note, have you heard about the CAN Economy? K-H-A-N, the CAN Academy. And the title of this over on TechDirt is, Can One Guy Educate the World Via YouTube? And I haven't seen this yet. I'm going to go over and check it out. But apparently this guy's doing some amazing stuff. What he's doing is, I guess this guy is pretty, from all intents and purposes, from what the article implies, this guy is really, really smart. And what he's been doing is he's been putting essentially classes taught by him on YouTube. He's teaching various educational lessons on anything from math to chemistry to history to finance and beyond. He even has a special section on the credit crisis with an analysis both of both former Treasury Secretary Paulson and of Treasury Secretary Geithner's plan. It's pretty amazing, and it's getting 100,000 views a day. So again, it's called the CAN Academy, the CAN, K-H-A-N Academy. You'll definitely want to check this out, and it's available on the web at canacademy.org if you just want to go straight to the website. But some cool stuff there. You guys heard about this letter from ASCAP? Did we cover this last week? Last week, the ASCAP attacked the EFF and Creative Commons in a very nasty letter as part of its fundraising drive. Now, they came down hard on Creative Commons. The backlash by ASCAP members has been nothing short of amazing. But here's the thing, if we put this in perspective, we've got 400 or 500 people speaking out. Remember, there's 380,000 members, card-carrying members of ASCAP, and we've got 400 or 500 people that have responded. Here's an example of a comment left about what the ASCAP did. It says, I think ASCAP, now this is from a guy by the name of Corey Dargle. He said, I think ASCAP should be ashamed of itself, and I'm presently ashamed to be a card-carrying member of ASCAP. The language in that fundraising email is a fear-based and reactionary. Furthermore, it's misleading and disingenuous. ASCAP portrays itself as a grassroots organization and calls attention to the deep pockets of the Creative Commons, but in fact, it is ASCAP, not Creative Commons, that's siding with corporate interest and deep pockets. And that kind of sums it up in a word right there. And, people are talking about, I never got no money for any work I've done, even so I've seen it, my music on TV and so forth. So ASCAP's taken a pretty bad beating on this and has yet to respond to it. But we'll see what is forthcoming. There may be a response from ASCAP at some point. Hey, over on Threat Level on Wired, FTC has saying that scammers stole millions using microcharges to credit cards. And you ever looked at your credit card and said, what is that charge? And you kind of think, did I charge something and online? And what company was that? And, you know, it's a small charge. You say, it's something I may have charged or not. You know, many of us, my wife and I use a credit card for everything. And we collect the miles. And I pay the bill off every month. But we charge everything on it. So when I get the bill, it's 2-3 pages. I have to go through and I read every single line and make sure everything looks good. But it'd be real easy for something to slip through there. And but if you ever seen something in your charge is from CFR, COS, CFM, Data Service, Dan Enterprises, DGen, Digest Limited, Don Partners, ESTA, Edge, Gamma, Global, Greenstone, Harry Dean, HBS, Homeport, just there's about 100 different ones. Union Green, TLC Incorporated, THQ, Terra, System Development, Worldwide Services, Yes, World Trade, Will Services, all these different companies. What they did is they've been hitting credit cards in small amounts, ranging from 20 cents to 10 bucks. And they only hit the card once with a fraudulent charge, and then they don't hit it again. So that's probably the good part. But they've been doing this since 2006, and they say that they've scammed $10 million in charges against consumer credit cards and debit cards since 2006. And that's, you think about 20 cents to 10 bucks, takes a long time to get to $10 million. But if you want to take the time to go through your credit card statements, you can. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's a huge list here. It'd take you forever to do the cross-checking. It's probably not worth it, but hopefully the banks will be on top of this and be able to do some self-auditing and find this stuff and be able to knock it out. All right, HD webcam three-way shootout. And, HD cams are becoming the current rage. And there's three out here that the folks over at Engadget reviewed. And I'm looking for some good some good HD webcams because I want to upgrade the webcams on the portable studio. And kind of been watching and haven't seen a lot on these yet. But the Logitech HD Pro Webcam C910 is one. It's pretty good. And it's being recommended by Skype HD. And then there's one called Free Talk. It's a Talk 7140. And it's about $60. And then there's a Logitech Pro C910. How much is that? $99. And then what's the last one here? The Face Vision Touchcam N1. And this is only a 1020 or 720p camera, and it's $120. But they've got reviews and videos on each one, and I'll let you guys pick which one you like the best. But if you're looking for an HD webcam, this is probably a good place to start for looking for one. Now, Jeffrey did a review on some webcams on our roundtable, so that might be a good option to look for as well. Hey, how many of you want to keep your kids from texting in the car? Well, TechStopper is a cell phone jammer for your car. And this plugs into, it's just a 12-volt device. And it apparently is going to shut down all communications on any U.S. cell phone operating the car, including those of non-driving passengers, when the car is in gear. And I guess for $200, you can have one of these. It's better yet just to put a policy in with your kids. Don't text while they're driving. But for $200, you can get a cell phone jammer for your vehicle. All right, this morning I was cruising the websites, news sites, hit Fox, hit CBS, hit MSNBC, and actually went to MSNBC because supposedly they were doing a new site redesign. And they're talking about how they'd made their site so slick and not very much advertising on it. And when I opened it up, those of you on Ustream, check it out. Have you guys seen these exploding abs where they run the full length of the page and they open up to about half the page width? And, as soon as you scroll down to try to avoid seeing the ad, it's done showing you and it zooms back up and you have to readjust the page 3 or 4 times. When are they going to learn? It made me so angry. I've seen this on CNN. I've seen this on MSNBC. I don't think I've seen it on Fox yet, but I wouldn't put it against any of these news services to run these. This shows you how desperate these idiots really are, because this just takes banner ads to the stream. I hope they are making a lot of money on these banner ads, because I tell you what, the goodwill that they're losing just because of the, doesn't it drive you insane? If it doesn't, oh man, it really does me. Next article up is an article on Geek News Central as well, one by Trucker Tom, The Tech of Social Networking. This is a great article by Tom. Tom did a good job on this. Please go over and check that out. I have a link up in the show notes. And it talks about, really, we've been social networking since the beginning of time, and Tom takes us through that. Hey, if you've got a 3GS for sale, think about your geek here at Geek News Central. I'm looking for one 3GS, and if you can hook a brother up, you know, I'll buy it from you. Hopefully it's cheaper than what they're selling for on eBay. I will say they're going for a couple hundred bucks on eBay, but if you want to be a fan of the show and you got a 3GS you want to sell, let me know. I'll buy it from you. she doesn't want a new phone, but if I upgrade her, she'll be happy. And I'm not buying a 4G for myself yet. So that's what the plan is here. Okay. Hey, those of you in Japan, I know we got a couple of listeners over there. You got to tell us about this Pepsi Strong Shot. Apparently, this is the ultimate caffeinated drink. It's supercharged by, it's got a lot of fizz to it, a lot of carbonation. And it says, set the can down. Don't open it for 15 seconds before you open it, because you just may get a face full of this stuff. But apparently, this is a super strong a power drink that they're selling over there. Now, moving on to something that would just make you cry. Can you imagine being one of the original founders of Apple, and at some point in the beginning decided that you quite didn't want to hang out, you wanted to kick off and leave and not contribute to the company anymore, and you found out that this person sold his share, his 10% share, for $800. Oh my goodness. This is a CNN video, and this would just absolutely, you would hit yourself in the head with a hammer every day, because Ron Wayne had a 10% share of original stock in 1976. He sold it soon after the company was founded for a measly $800. Would you just about, could you live with yourself? I don't know if I could. I really don't know. You know, that'd be one of those things where, you know, if I was the founder of the company, if I was Steve Jobs, you know, just write the guy a check for $1 million, you know, just, you know, you really sit back and you think, why did I do that? But true story. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Hey, your light bulbs are going to start look like a nutrition label. And wait till you start seeing these things. They're changing the label on them. It's going to have lighting facts per bulb. It's going to show you some data. And also, congratulations to the folks over at TechCrunch. They launched TechCrunch.tv today. I'm insanely jealous. They're doing a live web streaming studio. They're copying some of the stuff that Leo is doing. And I don't know if I like their studio layout. A little bland, not a lot too much life to it. But definitely, I was watching some of the videos as well. And they only had 500 people watching their stream today. This is TechCrunch. You would think that there would be 10,000 people watching the stream. So I'm wondering how well they're going to do. We'll see what happens here. But I guess it's all about the personalities. They've got some people there that they say, this is a famous person. I've never heard of some of these people that are on there. So, you know, maybe I'm just not so connected as I think I am. But anyway, we'll watch TechCrunch TV. Congratulations to them. We'll see how I'm sure they're going to knock it out of the ballpark. But TechCrunch.tv if you want to check it out. Hey, apparently the iOS version 4 is not coming to the iPad until November. This was a basically a little subnote in an Ad Age article that someone picked upon. So news on that. And also, what do you guys think about this iAds that are going to be coming to the iPhone? I tell you, the last thing I want to see is start seeing lots of ads on my iPhone, and I'm going to be irritated when I start seeing them. So if you start seeing ads on your iPhone, love to hear feedback from you and how that goes. Okay, we're running crazy long here, and I've got an audio comment. We'll play that, and then I'll get into the voicemails here real quick. Again, if you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Here's the one and only voicemail for today, and then we'll get into the email comments.
Hi, Todd. My name is Jim Llewellyn. I'm calling about app updates for the TruePhone system. Basically, last Thursday and Friday, they created updates for the apps for the iPhone and iPod Touch.
Right.
Update goes to iOS 4, available free over at Apple iTunes. Essentially, it provides now 3G calling.
Yep.
Through the TruePhone system. Previously, it was only Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Also, there is a TruePhone Instant Messenger that is part of the app upgrade. Basically, this acts as a platform through TruePhone that plugs into Facebook, Skype, AIM, Google Talk, MSN, Yahoo, basically one-stop shopping. If you would like some more information on TruePhone and this...
Oh, that wasn't a caller. Someone has gotten slick. They listened to the show and they heard about it. They called the voicemail hotline knowing I don't pre-screen calls. So anyway, TruePhone just got a free ad on the show. So any of you a TruePhone app user, if you are, let me know what you like about it or what you don't like. But that was pretty slick. Smart on you. Good move. You got me good. Please, if you're going to pitch me, please do it via email or call me on my cell. It's more appropriate than calling the voicemail hotline to pitch that way. I guess I'll start have to screening stuff. So anyway, that's that. Let me go ahead and move into the email inbox here and get through these real quick here. Hey, I want to thank Brian. He sent me a link to a video that is pretty cool. What it is they strapped a camera, and what this actually is still downloading the images, of course. I should have pre-cached this. But anyway, it was in one of these high-altitude balloons, and I've seen these before, but Brian actually sent me the iPhone EVO skit. So this is one I'm warning you guys on the language in, so this will be in the actual show notes only. And I got some speed test out of Wi-Fi on a connection on Android, and he's showing 8.9 megs down, 2.54 megs up. That's pretty good on a Wi-Fi connection on Android, Brian, so thanks for that. And Jim is the one that sent me the balloon flight shot with an HD Hero camera from GoPro, and this is a video that's over on Vimeo.com. I'll have this linked up in the show notes for that. Thanks for that, Robert. I got an email from Jim, and then I got an email from Robert that said, hey, Todd, if you haven't covered it already, he says, Dig users can try to get an invite for the Dig version 4 alpha at the new.dig.com. Also, the podcast guide app is now in the Android market. It says the podcast guide app is now in the Android market, but only with support for YouTube-based podcasts. There's no such thing as a YouTube podcast. So far, since the YouTube app is pre-installed on many Android phones, there are some screenshots at podcastguide.com. The GNC podcast works okay, and it's listed under the featured and technology categories. Thing is, here's the story about YouTube. YouTube is a place to put videos. There's no podcast feature. You can't subscribe to an RSS feed on YouTube to get a podcast unless something's changed over there. But thanks for that, Rob. You guys can check out podcastguide.com. Got an email from Jerry. He says, hey, Todd, I was hoping you could explain something to me. What exactly is bandwidth? I know it has to do with transferring data across the internet, but why are there limits? Where do the ISPs get the bandwidth that they turn around and sell to us for our phones and home computers and whatnot? It's not a physical product. It will eventually get used up. There aren't any mines in Africa where people work for pennies a day for us rich folks to use up. Why exactly are there bandwidth caps, and why are we charged for this product? Why isn't it free, and we just pay a flat fee to pay for the infrastructure to deliver it? It's really never made sense to me, and I haven't found somebody that really understands where it comes from. Do you know? Okay, Jerry, what this really is, for example, when you download my show, it costs me X number of pennies per gigabyte to actually deliver that video. I actually have to pay to have you download it. So every time someone downloads something for the show, the little counter's going, and it basically at the end of the month, I get a nice, healthy, big, fat bill from my CDN provider. Then I pay my CDN provider, and they've charged me a markup on that bandwidth cost because they've bought it from someone else at a cheaper price. Now, bandwidth is getting cheaper, and it's sold on a generally for consumers or for people that have small businesses on a gigabyte or terabyte level scale. And what happens is there's only so much really pipe available. So if you consider a fire hose can only use so much water, can only move so much water without rupturing. The pressure gets so high that the pipe blows. Now, on the internet, the pipe doesn't blow, but it just can't handle no more. Basically, it gets filled up and the pipe can't move any more volume. So when that happens, they have to lay in more pipe to move more volume, and that's where the cost is incurred. Generally, the backbone of the internet is huge. It uses a huge amount of traffic. And what happens with our cell phone coverage is because you're on a cell network and you're using bandwidth and you're sharing that bandwidth that's available at a tower with how many ever thousands of users, they have to lay in a certain amount of pipe to that tower to make sure that they can handle the traffic that's being demanded upon it from the users on their phones. So what they do in order to not have to lay in more infrastructure is they come out with rules like AT&T did and said, we're going to limit you now to 2 gigs instead of allowing you to have unlimited. And what it does is it causes people to be more conscious of how they use their bandwidth. In other words, it probably saves them having to roll in more infrastructure. And really, it's an end cost for the, once the pipe is put in, generally, the actual cost to maintain it is relatively low. And the backhaul costs, if they own the network, basically they're paying for power, they're paying for the switches, they're paying for the technicians. So there is a plant cost to maintain all that. But really, once AT&T, who owns their own network, puts that in place, really it's just a plant cost to keep it up. Now, they have to do peering arrangements with other providers where one shares traffic going both ways and they have some sort of an agreement. If you use more than I'm agreed to, you have to pay me a little bit of money. So some money trains hands sometimes. But generally on peering arrangements, there's an agreement that the same amount of bandwidth is going to move back and forth between the two. That's just kind of real quick. But really all it boils down to is that the providers don't want to put in more bandwidth. That's why our bandwidth speeds are not getting higher on our net connections. That's why we're not seeing DOCSIS 3.0 rolled out by Time Warner in Hawaii, because they don't have the infrastructure to handle all the additional bandwidth that would be required by laying that in. So anyway, that's that. Okay, I hope that covered it. Tom sent me an email saying, I remember some weeks ago in one of your podcasts, I can't remember which one it is, you asked if Hotmail was still around. I read about this on Paul Thurrott's blog today and found the numbers interesting for Microsoft as well as the PC market. It mentions Hotmail in the article, and I was surprised on how many users there are, and I was equally surprised at the amount of Yahoo Mail users. If you're interested, here's the link. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Tom. I definitely appreciate it. He's out of Nampa, Idaho. Nir, I know you got a response from the headshed at GoDaddy and basically the top dogs over there, and you were able to get some resolution and you fired back to them why there was some irregularities in their menuing system. And I keep me advised on how that goes. I'm glad you got everything figured out, but I'd like to see the additional responses as well. And hopefully that they get the point there that you had, you know, basically some menu issues as you're going through their system. So, but I'm glad they got you fixed up. Got an email here from Bruce. I think I'm going to stop here because we're going to run out of time. And I think that's pretty close to being it anyway. I think that's it. All right, folks. Thanks for hanging out with me, for being here today. And I had a couple of emails I didn't get into. We'll get those on the next show. And send your comments in on what we should change for show number 600. And we'll go from there. We'll see how that, see what ideas you guys come up with. And congratulations to our winners today of our two contests, Sam for picking up the $250 on the live.geeknewscentral.com design, and also for, let me see here, for Brian Randall for being our 90-day winner of the GoToMeeting package. So check out the new items in the Ohana store at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Links will be up in the show notes. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with me today. I appreciate it. And I look forward to being back with you here for a Friday release on the show. Be back Thursday night, 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time to do the podcast. Everyone take care. Thanks. Have a great week. And until next time, aloha.